Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to just talk for a few minutes this afternoon about the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's Pentecost, hey. We've already said that and we're quite aware of it, I'm sure. But I just want to talk a little bit more about that. It was interesting because Ken mentioned, he read from Hebrews chapter 12, about the great cloud of witnesses who are in heaven. And Edwin mentioned that his friend Pearl, who's gone on before, and how different she looked when God showed him in a dream. And, you know, the body of Christ is not separated by what we call death, but there is no death in the body of Christ. They've just gone on. They've stepped into another suit, and they're with Jesus in glory. But their spirit is still joined with our spirit because it's the Spirit of God that works through us all. And I was excited because I was reading this week how when you read about David and you read about Gideon, as Reyes said, and you read about these characters who felt so insignificant in Jeremiah, the same spirit that empowered them empowers us. And when you read about them, their spirit comes on the scene. And I think that's beautiful. If you want to be encouraged, read some of these old patriarchs and what they did. And just let that spirit just roll over you, because it's the same spirit in them that's in Christ Jesus, that's in you. So that same spirit is at work amongst all of us. There is no separation in the body of Christ for those who have gone on before. And they are indeed the great crowd, or the great cloud, is it, of witnesses who are cheering us on and saying, come on, come on, you can do it, you can do it. The Spirit of God that was in me and empowered me is in you and will empower you. So as we celebrate the anointing, the Holy Spirit, the birth of the church, really, in Acts chapter 2, I was blessed this week because I was thinking about Pentecost, and I mentioned it a few weeks ago, how in John chapter 16, when Jesus was walking with the disciples, he told them, it's time for me to leave. And the reason that I have to leave is so that I can make room for another member of the Godhead to come, the Holy Spirit. And what is beautiful is that the Holy Spirit working within us can do more than Jesus as an individual on the earth. Now that, you think, God, Jesus was the Son of God, what could be more powerful than that? But he was restricted because he became a man. But the Holy Spirit isn't restricted because he fills the body of Christ. And we see that when the church was born in Acts chapter 2. I was reading a book on the corporate anointing this week, and it was written by a man called Kelly Varner. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but if you read any of his books, they're a little bit, ooh, let me get my head around this. What's he saying? He goes a bit deep sometimes, and you have to read it and reread it to get what he's saying. But I always remember that we used to go across to the States. Bill's been with us, and we went to G.C. McCurry's, and you've all heard G.C. McCurry at Bawtry. Well, most of you probably have. And G.C. McCurry was an old apostle, and he had a great teaching. He could tell you lots and lots of things, and he didn't need to use his Bible. It was all up here, and it just flowed out of his spirit, verse after verse. And he'd weave the tapestry from Genesis through to Revelation. He could just go and go and go. And it was just amazing to sit at the feet of a man like this and learn what he had to say. And Kelly Varner was one of those who used to sit under his ministry. He was from South Carolina, which was the next state to GC in Atlanta. And he used to come across and he used to listen to GCs. And I always remember GC saying, that man, he comes and he listens to my ministry, then he goes off and he writes a book about it. It used to really tick him off. But you know, I think we've got to embrace what God's doing, haven't we? Because if this man hadn't have written the book about it, then I wouldn't be inspired today, and I wouldn't be blessed, and I wouldn't be sharing with you about the corporate anointing. There's things that he captured that he was able to put in a book that are there for generations to come. GC was there for a time and a season, and he inspired us, but you can never remember all that he told us. Although I wrote copious notes, I look back and I think, where did I put that book? And what's this about? And what was he saying here? And I've missed something here. There's a connecting link. And Kelly Varner was anointed, he is dead now, actually. But he was anointed to write down and to get printed a lot of what these old men of God said. But he did acknowledge G.C. McCurry in this book, and he acknowledged many others whose ministry he'd sat under, and he captured that same spirit. What I'm trying to get across is, it's the Spirit of God that matters. It's that same spirit that was in G.C., in Kelly Varner, that is in you and in me. And we're here working to one goal and one purpose. When Jesus birthed the church, we said that, it says in Acts chapter 2, that the Holy Spirit fell. And in actual fact, everywhere else that word fell is translated, he embraced them. He gave them a big hug, a divine love hug. And that's what he does when the Holy Spirit comes. He gives us a hug of divine love and said, I love you, you're mine. I know when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I just knew that I knew that I knew this sense of belonging. I knew who I belonged to. I knew I was God's, and I knew he loved me. And it's a rich, rich experience. What is the purpose of the church? The purpose of the church is Christ is the head, but we are his earthly body. There's a heavenly body, but that heavenly body is not here on the earth. And we are, and we're here to carry the anointing of the Holy Spirit and to minister what Jesus ministered here on the earth. And we're his representatives. And the Father's ultimate intention is to raise up a family of sons and daughters, a corporate body, expressing the life and the nature of Jesus. Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Galatians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. I don't know how it reads in your Bible. And I don't think I've read it in this version, but I've typed it out. And it's, Paul said, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him. I think that is beautiful. He talks there about the spirit of the Son of God revealed in him that he might preach. And that's what Paul did. He preached under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. But he was one individual, and as anointed as Paul was, he was restricted in what he could do. And I think it's absolutely amazing, the plan that God has for all of us. Ray said, if you want to know what God wants to do with your life, what's God's plan for you? Well, his plan for you is the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be part of that corporate body of Jesus Christ, expressing boldly his power, his anointing, and the ministry that he came to do. We are to fulfill it also. God always gives us parallels, and there's an Old Testament parallel of what the body of Christ is. When we look at Moses was very much overworked. He was stressed out, and his father Jethro was a wise man. And he came and he said to Moses, he said, you need to appoint 70 others to help you carry this load, to do the work with you. And so they prayed about it, and they selected 70 elders. And the interesting thing is, Scripture records that those 70 elders were anointed with the Spirit, the same Spirit that was on Moses. And that's a picture of what Jesus is doing with the church, isn't it? That spirit of Jesus is being separated and placed on the whole body of Christ. Another type and shadow is Elijah and Elisha. Let's have a look at 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 8 to 14. Then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. The water was parted to the one side and to the other until the two of them crossed on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, Tell me what I may do for you before I'm taken from you. Elisha said, Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit. He responded, You have asked a hard thing. Yet, if you see me as I'm being taken from you, it will be granted to you. If not, it will not. And then, as they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended in a whirlwind to heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. He picked up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water, saying, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? When he struck the water was parted to the one side and to the other, and Elisha went over. Where is the God of Elijah? He took that mantle and he hit the water with it. Elisha hit the water with it, and the sea parted as it had done for Elijah. That same spirit that Elisha had requested from Elijah had fallen upon him. And it's interesting, that word mantle in that passage in the Hebrew means to expand. It means to be great, to be magnificent. This mantle that was to come onto Elisha was to expand, was to be great, and was to be magnificent. He was to have a double portion of what Elijah had. That is absolutely fabulous. The double portion speaks of the firstborn, the anointing, the blessing of the firstborn. And what do we read about Jesus? He is the firstborn amongst many brethren. So that double anointing that Jesus had as the firstborn, we're his body, he's the head. So what have we got? A double anointing to what Jesus had. Now, is that powerful? That is tremendous. There we see, you know, we see that Elijah went up and his mantle came down. Here we have another picture. Jesus went up and the Holy Spirit came down. Jesus is always foretelling, God is always foretelling in his word what's going to happen along the way. And he was preparing them there with Elijah. The only criteria that Elijah gave was to see him as to see Elijah as he ascended. And because Elisha saw him as he ascended, that double portion, that anointing of the Holy Spirit came upon him, and that powerful anointing came. And we need today, it's good to break bread and take communion, but we can't keep looking at the resurrected Jesus. We've got to look at that ascended, glorified Jesus. That Jesus that is far above all principalities and powers. That Jesus who at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow. That Jesus that said, you, because I'm in you, you're an overcomer. You're more than a conqueror. You are victorious in me. That's what we need to be looking. Jesus enthroned far above all things. Jesus is also referred to in the tabernacle, the golden candlestick. I love this as well, because I've often read about the golden candlestick that was in the tabernacle, but I never understood what it meant. And the central shaft of the golden candlestick is Jesus. And there are three branches from it, and on each of the three branches there are three ornaments. So 3 times 3 on that side is 9, and 3 times 3 on this side is 9. And the 9 on that side are the fruit of the Spirit, his nature. And the 9 on this side are the gifts of the Spirit, the ministry gifts of Jesus Christ. There are 9 gifts of the Spirit in the Word of God. There are 9 fruit of the Spirit. Here they're typified in the golden candlestick. Jesus is the centre. What did he say to us? He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me and you'll bear much fruit. Amidst the 7 golden candlesticks, the Apostle John saw the corporate body of Christ. Because you know what he said? He said, this corporate man is as the voice, as the sound of many waters. This sound of many waters, it's a huge, ginormous body of Jesus Christ filling the whole earth. Wow! I can't help but get excited. Folks, it's not just us. It's the body of Christ, and we're members of it in particular. We know that God always works in threes. Threes is divine perfection. And you'll see lots of threes, faith, hope and love. Come on, somebody give me some more. What other threes are there? God is three in one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You want love? He is, I'm not sure of the three. Go on, Rebecca. 3 days, yeah, in the tomb. And then he raised from the dead. That's right, Rebecca. 3 days.
Yeah. How long would he be going? Go.
Roy's got 3 there. I'm not sure what they are, Roy, but you look blessed. Praise God. He's the way, the truth and the life. He is. That's right, yeah, another 3. There's lots of 3s. What is it in the temple? The inner court, the outer court, the inner court. And the most holy place, the Holy of Holies. There's 3. What about Noah's Ark? How many decks did it have?
3.
It's just beautiful. When God speaks, he speaks in a certain pattern. And his divine perfection is 3. Well, there are 3 anointings. And the first anointing is, the Hebrew word for it is suk. S-U-K. And this anointing is like when olive oil runs down your body. Yeah, like when it ran down Aaron's beard and down through his body. But you know, that anointing only covers the surface. It runs quickly down and it's gone. It dissipates quickly. It stimulates the senses as it goes, but it's gone quickly. And you know, a lot of Christians in church, they're into the goosebumps. They'll get a flow of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. They'll feel him just running down their body. But come the next day when the trials and the tribulations come, because it dissipated so quickly, we're not too good at overcoming when the trials are there facing us in the difficulty of the hard light of day. And so, yes, although it's an exuberance, it's not something that is going to keep us. So there's another level of anointing, and this is when it's smeared on. And this is what they did for the kings and the priests. They would smear the anointing oil onto them. I suppose when you're out in the sun, you smear some lotion to protect you from the sun's rays, don't you? It's just smeared on. And although it's a better level than when it's poured on and it runs off, it has its limitations. It lasts longer than being poured on, but it's not, doesn't have the strength of the third anointing. And the third anointing is when it's rubbed in. Oh, you know, when something's rubbed into your skin, it really does become a part of you. And the fragrance gets into your body and it starts to emanate from you, doesn't it? And that third anointing is called Creo, and it's called to rub in. And we see that third anointing in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. In fact, we'll go from 16. When Jesus came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up and read the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." And so he rolled up the scroll, he gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all of the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." That anointing was the rubbed in anointing that lasts forever. It was the Spirit without measure that came upon Jesus. And that anointing is available to us today. God has given his body the Spirit without measure. We put the limits on God. He won't put the limits on you. If you restrict him as a gentleman, he won't push beyond the limits that you allow him to go. But the Spirit of God wants to take you further. He wants to take you deeper. He wants to take you into new dimensions. The Spirit without measure. A lovely scripture in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. Isaiah was a tremendous prophet of God, and he prophesied the church. He saw the corporate body of Christ. He saw the church in the end times. And in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, he said, "And there shall come forth a rod," that rod is Jesus, "out of the stem," which is David, "of Jesse. And a branch," the church, "shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, both head and body. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord." I think that is magnificent, that Isaiah saw it and prophesied the body of Christ, this corporate anointed body that was going to be powerful. God has chosen, God is a God of order, and he does things in his own order. And he has designated that the church be matured and brought to its fulfillment by the hand of God. Now, the hand of God is the fivefold ministry of the church. And I think this is phenomenal, because God's hand, he's chosen the apostle, the prophet, the teacher, the evangelist and the pastor to form the body of Christ. That's his hand, and this hand is used to rub in the ointment, to press and to form it and to shape it in the image of Christ. Now, why do you think so many Christians, the devil... Why do you think there's such a battle on for church attendance? Don't worry anymore why, not reason or try and think out why people don't want to come to church. The devil is trying to put people off being in the body of Christ, because this is where the hand of God is, and this is where he will form you and shape you for the future. The fivefold ministry, let's have a look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. We'll look at from verse 11. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. The church is what God has ordained and destined to shape his people and equip the people of God for their work in the ministry. I've heard Andrew say in the past that somebody came to him years ago and had a problem, and Andrew didn't want to hurt this person, and he didn't want to tell them that what they needed to hear. And he backed off, and he lived to regret that, and he repented of it and said to God he would never do that again. So don't be surprised when the apostle or the prophet starts to rub you the wrong way, which is actually the right way, but it's not the way that you want to hear it, because that is his function. That's what God has destined him to do. He's appointed him to do it, to rub the sheep, sometimes the wrong way, the way they don't want to be rubbed, but what's good for them. You know, God will, he'll put pressure on you in the body of Christ, but stay with it, because God has placed you in his body for a specific purpose, to bring you to maturity, that you might go out as the body of Christ and bearing fruit in Jesus' name. After oil is rubbed on, you can't see it, but you can smell the fragrance of it. And we used to sing a lovely song, let the fragrance of Jesus just emanate from us. May the fragrance of Jesus, the beautiful fragrance of Jesus, just emanate from us. And when we get to that point, you know, the flesh has to die. And ambitions, we're not running in the fast lane of ambition. The only thing we want to do is please God. The only thing we want to do is sit at his feet and learn and to listen. That's when we have this determination to pursue God, regardless of how severe the process is to bring us to death to self. But we want to be formed in the image of Christ, and we're going to be tested. You know, Jesus went into the wilderness, didn't he? But he came out in the power of the Spirit, and the anointing had been rubbed into him in the wilderness. And we've all been there. You know, we've all had a different wilderness experience, and it won't be the last. There'll be many more. And in those experiences, the anointing, God is rubbing this oil into us. He's rubbing this anointing into us. He's shaping us and moulding us into his image. And reading about this, I was just not surprised at all that there is a decline in the church attendance today, because the devil is attacking the body of Christ. You know, we've got a lot of Christians saying, I don't need to go to church for whatever reason. They think they know better than the Word of God. But God has a purpose and a plan for his body, and he wants them in his house. We always used to laugh about plant pot Christians, Andrew called them. He used to say, when the rubbing starts, they're gone. When the worship's not to their liking, they're gone. When the church isn't going in the direction they think it ought to, they're gone. When the church isn't big enough and they can't hide, they're gone. When there's not enough works going on to satisfy their legalistic spirit, they're gone. When the worship just doesn't flow, or when the worship's just not what they're looking for, they're gone. And so it goes on. They can find so many excuses. Bill sent me an article this week, and it really blessed me. And it was from a chap called Gillen on politics, and he was talking about the ministry of Jesus. And he said, for any of you ministers who are feeling the pressure, he says, take heart, because after 3 years of ministry that Jesus had on the earth, during which time there were healings, there were miracles, and the dead were raised, he had just 120 disciples. And you think, 3 years. And they saw the Son of God at work, and yet only 120 could stay with the program. How fickle are they? How fickle is the church? But Jesus said, he wasn't into the numbers game. He said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. And that's hardly a strategy for winning votes, is it? People don't want to hear this, take up your cross and follow me. And naturally speaking, I was thinking about the church, the body of Christ. When you look at it, it's so fragmented. It's so malnourished. It's so dysfunctional that you would say in the natural, it's impossible for it to survive. And yet, we can't forget Ezekiel's prophecy, Ezekiel 37. Now, what could be more pathetic than that church there? The valley of dry bones. They were laid all over, scattered, a valley of dry bones, the church. And Ezekiel, God said to Ezekiel, mortal, can these bones live? And what did Ezekiel say? Yea, Lord, thou knowest. And God said to Ezekiel, prophesy, speak the word of the Lord to these dry bones, and they will live. And Ezekiel spoke the word of the Lord. And what happened? He said, bone came to bone, and sinew came to sinew, and muscle to muscle, and the body came together, and it stood up, and the breath of the Spirit of God was breathed into them, and life, the life of God, came into them, and they were no longer dry bones. They were the body of Jesus Christ. They came together, and what were they? It says they were a vast multitude. Wow, a vast multitude. Be assured, God will bring his church together. He will bring the body of Christ together. It will be a powerful multitude, as he promised it would be. If it could be done naturally, then it would be a natural church. And that's why it's got to be done by the Spirit of God, by a supernatural means. God will raise up his body. He said, didn't he, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He will do it. We need to be confident and not be afraid, not to be intimidated by the smallness of what we see, of our own surroundings. Let's look at the body of Christ at large and see that there's a mighty army out there, and it will be raised up for one reason and one reason alone. God said it will be. His body will be formed and will be powerful in the earth. I was thinking about, and I was thanking God for ministers who spanned denominational borders. And that's something we need to be able to do. The Bish said to us when he first came, he said, Andrew, drop your name tag. He said, the body is bigger than the Pentecostal church. The body of Christ spans denominations. And I thank God for men such as Billy Graham. He brought the message of salvation, and he spanned the denominations, didn't he? I know many in the Church of England, in the Methodists, in the Baptists, all of the denominations had such great respect for this man, that anointing that was on him. He brought many to Jesus Christ. There's probably people in this place who came as a result of the ministry of Billy Graham, and I thank God for him. We were blessed to be under the ministry of John Wimber. He was around in the 80s, and John Wimber was very significant in bringing the power of the Holy Spirit into the meetings. He would preach, he would sit on a chair and he would have a microphone in front of him. Very casually he would preach, and then at the end of it he would invite the Holy Spirit to come, and the huge auditorium was full. And as he invited the Holy Spirit to come, he wouldn't say a word, he'd just be quiet and he would wait. And we might wait 5 minutes, and for some Christians that's too long to sit still with nothing happening. Come on, there's got to be a program. But no, we wait for the Holy Spirit. John Wimber sat on his stool like that, and he didn't move a muscle. He waited, and he waited. Sometimes it took 10 minutes, quarter of an hour, but he waited, and the Holy Spirit came. You begin to hear somebody over there beginning to prophesy. Somebody be weeping over there. Somebody be laughing over there. Somebody be falling on the floor over here. And the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit would start to work. And before long, we were sat in a row, and there were a row of Quakers behind us, and they were praying for us. And I think, God, Quakers? Where do these come from? But again, he was a man who spanned denominational borders. Wasn't just in his own denomination. I think of Kenneth Hagin. He's gone to glory now. Kenneth Copeland, Jerry Savelle. They spanned denominational borders. They brought the message of faith to us. And I thank God that was a timely message for us to hear. And we were really blessed by it. It increased our faith. And we began to realise that God was real. It wasn't just what happened in the Bible. God was doing great things in our day and had more for us to reach, to attain to. And we were inspired and encouraged, and we went forward in joy and in strength, in faith. I thank God for, as been mentioned this afternoon, Andrew Womack. You know, I always think of him as bringing the message of grace. I first heard it with Bish, but it was brought again through Andrew Womack. And he's got a grasp of the grace of God. And that we're not into a works program. It's the grace of God. It's by his grace that we're where we're at. And again, he's crossing denominational borders, ministering to the body of Christ. I don't get a chance to hear her. I've heard her occasionally. But Joyce Mayer, a lot of you are so blessed by her ministry. And I think she's a type of person who develops character and maturity in the body of Christ. She's been there, done it, got the T-shirt. She wants you to benefit from that. She wants you to grow up. She wants you to be mature. She wants you to move on. She wants you to learn from her mistakes. And she, again, is spanning denominational borders. She's ministering to a whole host of people. But, you know, however powerful these ministries are, they can never individually achieve what the body of Christ can achieve corporately. And I don't think we can grasp what God wants us to do, what God has prepared for us, the works that he wants us to walk in. But we need to focus. He's the head. We're always looking at the head, and we're always saying it's Jesus. We're never looking at ourselves as his body. And the same spirit that's on the head is on the body. And we're his physical representation here on the earth. And Jesus wants his body, his corporate body, up. I always remember GC speaks of an old prophet who saw a giant laid on the floor, and it was all tied down. And somebody came along and cut the cords. The angel, I think, came along and cut the cords that were holding it down. And this body rose up, a huge, mighty, giant body. And the prophet said, and this is the body of Christ. Wow, come on, church, this is us. Get up, let's go. We are the body. His power, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you. It shall quicken your mortal body. It shall quicken the bodies of those who are sick. That same spirit, we have him residing within us. We need to dwell on who we are in Christ. We need to focus. We need to ask God to give us that revelation of what this church is, what this body is. We need to be ready to stay the program in the body of Christ where he's placed us. And when the prophet or the apostle or the evangelist or the teacher rubs us, we need to stay with it. Don't squeal and run off. Stay with it. God has placed you there for a specific purpose. This is where you will be shaped. This is where you'll be formed into the image of Christ. Don't run off. Don't let your emotions drag you away. You know, we're so subject, creatures subject to emotion. You've offended me. This hurts me. I can't stand this. I don't want to do this. That's not the way. God says, stay with the program till I form Christ in your image. It's interesting how when you're preparing something and God's laid something on your heart, he brings all sorts of things across your path. And Bill's little bit was one of them, and this book, The Anointed, added some more to it. And then I was looking in my filing cabinet, which is a drawer at my bedside table, and it's cram jam full of papers. And I was ferreting through here, and this paper dropped out, and I didn't put it away. And when it came to tidying up a bit later, I picked it up and I thought, oh, I missed one here, what's this? And at the top of it, it was a word that Andrew gave us on the 28th of December, 2008. And I thought, the heading caught my eye. It says, the church is the womb for ministries of the future. A few lines, and it says this. It's in the womb of the church that ministries and leaders of the present and the future are being formed and developed. The Lord is moving by his Spirit throughout the church. He's bringing it back to apostolic structure and operation. God's incubator for the future is the church of Jesus Christ. What the church produces or fails to produce is what will determine the future of this earth. Not the political and economic trends of the nations. We're the salt preserving this earth, just as Abraham did. We stand as the negotiators and as the intercessors for the future of the nations of the world. That was a powerful word. The church is the womb, the incubator for the body of Christ. God has placed you in this incubator. Amen. Let's go with it. Let's grow to the full stature of the image of Christ and be what he's called us to be in the earth, his representatives. Praise God.